This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, sallallahu sallam baraka nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira thumma amma ba'd. This hadith is about the responsibility of the judge or the alim, the scholar, when it comes to giving fatwa or formulating an opinion. Like if an alim or a scholar extends his ijtihad and he studies everything, whether it's matter of aqidah, matters of fiqh, matters of ahkam and qada and judiciary and so on, what are the limitations? What's the limitation of the scholar or the judge when it comes to making a judgment? This hadith number 1856 in Riyad al-Salihin, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, qal, وَعَنْ عَمْرُ بْنِ الْعَاصِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ سَمِعَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ إِذَا حَكَمَ الْحَاكِمُ فَاجْتَهَدَ ثُمَّ أَصَابَ فَلَهُ أَجْرًا وَإِنْ حَكَمَ وَاجْتَهَدَ فَأَخْطَأَ فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. In this hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a judge utilizes his skill of judgment and comes to a right decision, he will have a double reward. But when he uses his judgment and commits a mistake, he will have a single reward. Rawah al-Bukhari Muslim. I don't know, the translation is a little bit off over here. So let's repeat the hadith inshallah in Arabic and explain that. So hadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, إِذَا حَكَمَ الْحَاكَمُ. If a judge puts an effort and exerts his effort to bring about a judgment, a ruling, and to the best of their ability, his ijtihad, which means his judgment, Allah subhanahu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, thumma asab, the result of his judgment was correct. Correct in the sight of who? Who decided it was correct? This is correct in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the opinion that he said, the fatwa that he gave, the judgment that he casted on this matter was correct in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the knowledge of Allah azza wa jal, which the judgment, which the court, the judge or the alim doesn't necessarily know. But he's doing this to the best of his ability. But Allah knows that he made a correct judgment. He said Allah will give him double reward. One for making the effort and one for being correct. قال وَإِنْ حَكَمَ وَاجْتَهَدْ. But if this judge or this alim makes an ijtihad, exerts an effort to arrive at a specific opinion, specific judgment, specific fatwa, ثُمَّ أَخْطَى فَأَخْطَى, the conclusion, the end result of that ijtihad was wrong. Did the alim deliberately, kind of like he intentionally wanted to be wrong? Absolutely not. That's to the best of his ability, to the best of his understanding from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the Arabic language, from the science of ulum that he learned, and also of course from the human skill of reasoning. So to the best of his ability, that was his opinion, that was his fatwa. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, even in such a situation, when the alim casts his fatwa and gives his judgment in his own opinion, does that alim believe that he was wrong? What do you guys think? He doesn't. To him, the alim, he believes that he was right. But the Prophet says, but he was wrong. In terms of what? In the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we don't. We don't. So therefore, the Prophet says he will still get his reward. For what? For making the effort, the right effort. Now, that's when we have multiple opinions among the ulama. Some ulama, they said this opinion, some other that opinion. Okay, how do we know which one is which? We are falling under the same category when it comes to making choices. We did to the best of our ability. Some of us have knowledge, alhamdulillah, that qualifies them to discern the difference between opinions and make their own decision or judgment on the matter, meaning choosing one of the opinions. Others, they don't have that skill or ability. So what do? I trust the sheikh, so I'm going to follow his opinion. Khalas, that's the best of their knowledge, to the best of their ability. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Amin. So here the Prophet ﷺ is guaranteed the reward for both of them. He's guaranteeing the reward for both of them. But one of them gets double the reward because they were also correct. What does that mean? What does it mean to us, to average person over here? What does that mean to us is that as long as the alim that you know about, he, for example, or this scholar, if he was, alhamdulillah, qualified for that, which means he had the deep knowledge, the profound knowledge in the Quran, the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the science of hadith and usul and ulum that is required to make this kind of fatwa, and he made a fatwa. Now that fatwa, again, to him, to this alim, is considered correct. So khalas, he's going to follow that opinion. Later on, maybe one generation or two generations, some ulama, they had extra knowledge that he didn't have probably. So as a result, they formulated an opinion different than his. Now, does that mean that we're going to start bashing that scholar, say, oh, he was wrong, and he was this, he was that? I mean, we are allowed to say that that opinion was wrong. But we can never talk about him being, for example, ignorant. Why? Because when he did it as of what? Ijtihad. He put every possibility in that ilm and knowledge. That's why when we have difference of opinion among the scholars, the ulama, they say, all these methodologies considered what? Valid methodologies. But we cannot say they're all correct, because I hear that a lot among people say, all the mujtahideen are correct. That everybody, the four schools of thought, for example, they say, they're all correct. That's not true, ya Jama'ah. The Prophet ﷺ said they can make mistakes. He said that one of them is going to be wrong. So we can't say they're all correct. Otherwise, you will be actually accepting all discrepancies altogether. But what do we say? They're all valid. They're all valid in terms of what? Their ijtihad, the methodology, the process by which they formulate their opinions. But one of them could be right, one of them could be wrong. Now that takes us to some branches of usul al-fiqh, theory of law, which means when ulama differ among themselves, there are different categories for that. Some of the ikhtilaf, we call it ikhtilaf tabad, which means contradictory khilaf, contradictory disagreement. One of them has to be wrong. Like someone says, this is halal, this is haram. For sure, one of them has to be wrong. Now, who is that person that's right and wrong? That depends on your ijtihad and how much you know of that ilm and how much is ulama were deep in the depth of that subject. So you could tell that who's one right and who's wrong based on, again, your own personal judgment. And Allah knows best who was that person. And sometimes that the disagreement is not necessarily contradictory. They call it diverse khilaf. Like what? Raising your hands or not in the salah, for example. Putting your hands up here or down there in the salah. These are all considered not contradictory, but are diverse. Yeah, I mean, when you go deep into the discussion, you might say one of them is right, one of them is wrong. But it doesn't really, it's not like it's impossible to reconcile. Like the first opinion, which is basically one is halal, one is haram, for example. That's different. So when it comes to the ikhtilafat of the ulama, as students of knowledge, as an average person, we should be tolerant with other people who are for a different opinion. Why? Because this may be for the best of their ability. They come from a tradition, from a culture, that's the best of their ability, that was their opinion. You can't condemn them for that. Your job is to do what? To educate them, and educate yourself as well too, because how many times you thought what you believed to be true, at the end of the day, it was actually not the right opinion. At some point you develop new knowledge and just realize like, wow, subhanAllah, I was ignorant so much during that time. And specifically to the young brothers and sisters, or alhamdulillah, they're still at the beginning of seeking knowledge, it's a very, very dangerous path, ya Jama'ah. Our ulama, they say, knowledge is the distance of three spans of the hand. When you enter the first span, like they said, three spans, one, two, and three. So like the first span, when you enter the first span of that hand, it says, مَنْ دَخَلَ فِي الشِّبْرِ الْأَوَّلِ تَكَبَّرُ. It breeds arrogance. Why is that? Because you listen to one lecture, you read one book, you learn something new, mashallah, fancy new thing to you, and guess what? You think you know everything right now. You learn how to make wudu, it's like giving fatwa on zakah, mashallah, right? Some people just like that. They hear one thing and they start talking about it forever, as if it's just the meaning of knowledge. قَالُ وَمَنْ دَخَلَ فِي الشِّبْرِ الثَّانِ تَوَضَعَ. And if you enter the second span of that hand, then you will humble yourself. Why? Because now you realize, oh my God, there is so much still to learn. Oh my God, there's a new opinion about this issue. Oh, I didn't know that there is something else could be said about this matter. So you start humbling yourself. قَالُ وَمَنْ دَخَلَ فِي الشِّبْرِ الثَّالِثِ عَلِمَ أَنَّهُ لَا يَعْلَمْ. And when you enter the third span, that's when you know that you know nothing. Because the more you know that you don't know much yet. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Above every knowledgeable person, there is who? Someone who's more knowledgeable. And hadith of the story of Musa and Al-Khidr, when they were on the boat. And then a bird came and perched on that boat and took some water with its beak from the river. And they were watching. So Al-Khidr tells Musa, how much that bird took from the river? How much water did it take from the river? He goes, nothing. He's like, what? Whatever it took is nothing. قال ما علمي وعلمك. my knowledge, your knowledge, and the knowledge of this whole universe combined in comparison to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as much as this bird has taken from this river. It's not even, it's even less than that, subhanAllah. So the nature of knowledge is the more you learn, you get answers to more, to few questions, and you get what? More questions. It expands. And that's why as you go through the process of learning, you humble yourself. The last thing over here, in regards to judgment, those who make judgments, specifically if someone asks you for arbitration or someone asks you to make judgment between two people and so on, be careful, Jama'ah. Hadith Buraid al-Aslami radiallahu anhu ardaan, Sunan Abi Dawood, the Prophet says, قال, Al-Qudatu thalatha, judges are of three categories, or three people. قال, واحدٌ في الجنة واثنان في النار. One will be in Jannah and two will be in Jahannam. This is scary. Like one-third of rulers and judges are what, Jama'ah? One third is in Jannah. Two thirds are going to Jahannam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So those who rush into trying to make judgment and rule against people and for people, be careful, Jama'ah. So the Prophet says, قال, رَجُلٌ عَرَفَ الْحَقَّ فَحَكَمَ وَقَضَى بِهِ. Someone knew the truth and ruled by the truth. So that's in Jannah, he said. قَالْ وَرَجُلٌ عَرَفَ الْحَقَّ فَجَارَ فَجَارَ فِي الْحُكُمِ. Someone knew the truth but ruled against it, knowingly. So he قَالْ فَهُ فِي النَّارِ. وَرَجُلٌ قَضَى بَيْنَ النَّاسِ عَلَى جَهْلٍ. Someone who rules between people without knowledge. People ask him, they give answers. قَلْبَهُ فِي النَّارِ. So the one who has the knowledge and rules by that knowledge, that's in Jannah. But the one who has the knowledge but they rule against it knowingly, that's deviation, obviously. So he's in Jannah. And the person who just gives judgment and without any proper knowledge, that's a disaster, Jama'ah. So that's out of ignorance. And this person is also, أعوذ بالله, Jahannam. So be careful. When someone asks you for a fatwa, an opinion, or someone speaks about subject, it's not a comment section on your social media, Jama'ah. The deen is not your comment section on a social media and a platform, like everybody does these days, mashallah. Someone posts something on Tabarak al-Rahman, all the can become Maulana Muftis and Sahabs, and Imam Sahab, and everybody becomes in that comment section, mashallah. Everybody wants to give an opinion on this matter. Be careful with this. Because these ulama, these mashayikh, these students of knowledge, when they make these fatwas, hopefully, they've done their research based on, of course, the best of their ability to give an answer on this matter. May Allah protect us all from giving fatwa bighayr ilmi ya rabbil alameen. Wallahu alam. Any questions, Jama'ah? Salaam. So this hadith, does it only apply to religious matters or does it apply also to civil courts and stuff like that? Everything. It applies also for the civil courts as well, too. Wallahu a'lam. Yes. So if you have some friends come to you asking about a specific opinion, a specific matter, or if this then they're non-Muslims, you're saying, right? If they're non-Muslims and they're asking your opinion on this matter, now, obviously, if you have the knowledge about the matter they're asking about, then you let them know that, look, I'm giving you to the best of my ability. That's it. Also, when you rule between them, you rule between them as if they were Muslims. What does that mean? As Allah said to the Prophet ﷺ about the Jewish people who came to him, وَأَنِحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ. That you rule between them by what Allah revealed to you, not by what they want you to what they have actually in their own law. So you rule between them as if it's a Muslim rule. They want to take it, or otherwise, that's their business. Wallahu a'lam. No. It's a very good point. If an imam or a alim gives a judgment or a fatwa knowingly that it's wrong, like our deviation, for example, so he's misleading the people. Now that's what he's saying, right? So if this mufti does give that fatwa knowing that it's wrong, and he gives it out to the people, and the layman follows that individual, that alim, will that layman be taken accountable for that? It depends. It really depends. If that fatwa, it's so outrageous that, you know, even a layman should know better than this, then following that person blindly, he will be accountable for it. But if he was given a fatwa in an ambiguous matter, that yeah, people don't really know any better, so they just follow that alim based on what he says, then in this case, may Allah forgive them, they're not going to be held accountable to that in that sense. But definitely, they might be held accountable for not making yani the effort to learn even better than that. Wallahu a'lam.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته